Good morning. Today is Monday, the 16th of August. It's Monday Affair Week. Joining us this morning from the Eel River Valley, Jennifer Budway. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Are you a fair girl?
I am a fair girl, yes.
Which thing gets you most excited?
Oh, the horse races, hands down.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're one of those types.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I grew up, you know, doing the whole junior livestock auction thing.
Well, that's why I was thinking that you might have been down at the other end.
Well,
the meat-producing end.
Yeah, well, I bounce back and forth, but at the end of the day, it's definitely the races. I probably spent a little more time there.
Oh.
Yeah. So fun.
I've had folks ask, and I know this sounds like goofy, but I like the plants. The garden club displays.
Yeah.
That to me, when I think back, that's what I think of.
Mm-hmm.
They are beautiful. The other stuff.
Yeah. And then the art, too, is kind of nice. My mom displays her art there. So okay. I always like to go through there as well.
Yeah. It's funny. You start to recognize people. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Ange is looking at the quilts and, you know, that kind of stuff, too. So it's more of that end of things. And have you ever been to the state fair?
No.
Or a state fair? I've not either. I wonder what they have.
If it's probably just a what we have times about 50.
Yeah. I mean, is it a series of rides? Or, I mean, I know they don't have horse racing because there's only, I think Craig told me three? Three horse races associated with county fairs anymore in the state? So it's really a unique experience.
Mm-hmm. That's very true, yeah.
So what else, other than carnival rides?
Well, you probably just from an entertainment standpoint, they probably have a lot of shows.
That's true. Probably a lot of live and like at the state fair, probably a lot of big names.
Right, I would think so. And then just the exhibits, that piece of it would be probably pretty significant.
That'd be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Parking's probably about 15 times what ours is.
Probably.
You want what? That's my cotton candy money. All right, you ready for your question here?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we say something is dead as a doornail?
Ooh, dead as a doornail. Now you got me.
Some say that the doornail in question is a large knob that a metal door knocker strikes and that is dead as a result of continuous pounding that it takes. Others say, the reason we have this, is that the doornail is a large headed nail used in the construction of the door. This nail is pounded very hard so that the head is flattened, giving the nail a firmer grip into the wood. That kind of is a lame one, isn't it?
Hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't have got either one of those.
No, me either. All right. This is a zoo question. It's probably more up your alley.
Okay.
Why do monkeys in the zoo spend so much time preening the hair of other monkeys in the zoo?
Hmm.
Jane Goodall.
Hmm.
No?
No.
All right. Monkeys in the wild do this because they're looking for body parasites, but monkeys in the zoo are relatively free of such parasites. What monkeys in the zoo are looking for are bits of salt that have exuded through the pores of the monkey's skin and have dried out under their hair. So if they shampooed regularly.
So they're cleaning them or
cleaning and going
they're just
for the
grooming,
salt.
Grooming each other.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Either way, it's kind of gross.
It's really gross. Do you remember Bill? Bill our local monkey,
Bill
the artist?
Ziggy, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Et cetera. I think I remember him when he was about 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he really did paint those portraits.
Yeah, they gave him some.
Yeah.
Just kind of throw them. It was back, I think they did that with elephants too.
Oh.
They just kind of put some colors, not here, but in other zoos. And the elephant would kind of swish around with its trunk. Ooh.
It's probably some of our best art that's ever been produced.
Yeah, right now, if you want something like that, you go into the aviary. Gotcha. So what sense do you have with all this talk about inflation and interest rates kicking up and? I mean, we're seeing gasoline prices now. It's, what, over $5 a gallon, and we're, you know, everything that's transported now, the prices are going up. What kind of sense do you have for the next 6 months to year and a half?
Well, they're saying, from everything I'm hearing, they're anticipating the interest rates are probably going to be more along the lines of the beginning of 2022. So theoretically, if that stands, we probably aren't
going to... Wait a minute. The beginning of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
That's like in 5 months from now.
Oh, right. So, right. So through the end of the year, we may not see much of an increase in rates at all.
And that's when it'll start to bump.
But yeah. But depending upon the trajectory and how things proceed, it could be... sooner, it could be later, most likely not sooner. So I'm assuming that rates will probably remain pretty stable through the end of the year. But then dependent upon our overall situation and how things stand, they could start to go up.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's going to be probably dependent upon the state of our economy coupled with the need to increase them. The inflationary piece of it is just really scary to me right now. And I think you have two things at play there. The excess cash in our economy right now is tremendous with all the stimulus money being out there. But I think the primary reason we're seeing all those increase in prices is because of COVID and a supply-demand issue. But that's also a question of, okay, it makes sense as to why maybe prices went up temporarily because there was an issue with supply. You had a lot of people that weren't working, so therefore plants, a lot of industries shut down or went part-time. So they
weren't expected to go soft, and it went the other way.
Well, they didn't produce for a while, so therefore those products weren't being they weren't out there, right? So at that point, your supply went down. While at the same time, your demand maybe went down for certain things to a degree, but overall not tremendously. So now you have a supply-demand issue, so therefore the prices did go up, and the thought, I think, initially was, okay, that's going to be a temporary thing because once COVID subsides and people get back to work and, you know, things get caught up and now our supply chain is equivalent to what it was pre-COVID, then...
Other than computer chips.
Well, and there's definitely some industries that that's not going to be the case, right?
Still sucking pond water.
Uh-huh.
Trying to get.
Yeah.
Well, you keep hearing the stories about the automotive industry.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's there except for?
The computer chips.
Well, so you might as well not have tires there either. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital Bank. Employment or unemployment, employed, however, whatever phrase we want to use in reference to that situation. Sometimes we really think that we are on an island, but yet when we talk to any of our buddies out of the area, whether state conventions, national conventions, everybody is lamenting the lack of available labor.
Mm-hmm.
You guys deal with it all the time. We deal with it on a tertiary. But there's so many local businesses that would like to expand hours, to do this, to do that, and they can't find anybody to do what they have now. They got everybody running overtime.
Mm-hmm.
When do you see that one changing?
Well, I feel, and this is just my own personal opinion, it does seem like right now that one of the biggest challenges we have is the unemployment that's being paid out. Those benefits supposedly are going to run out in September, so a few weeks. And I would anticipate that if the government does allow those to run out and doesn't keep those implemented, because I think we're still at $300 a week, if I remember correctly, then at that point, I would anticipate that that's going to cause quite a few people to need to return to the workforce. So I'm guessing that you probably have a lot of people right now that because of the unemployment benefits being so high since COVID hit, that it's cheaper for them to, they make more money by staying at home than they are by working. And I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, I haven't done the math on it, but I heard that you have to be making a minimum of $19 to $20 an hour to make more at work than you would on unemployment. And so,
because of the taxes?
Just if you do the math, because originally it was $600 a week, so it was $2,400 a month that they were getting, correct. And that plus your state unemployment on top of it. So the federal was $600 a week.
Oh, I didn't realize that there was state unemployment on top of
it. On top of it, correct. Oh. That was my understanding of it. And then it went to $300, so it's still $1,200 a week plus your state. And again, that was my understanding. So, which is pretty significant amount of money every single month. And so while that's still out there, I think that that's definitely adding a lot of incentive for folks not to, to be working. But
the thing that I look at is, what are the costs of being employed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got your transportation that is something that you have to consider. If you're receiving largesse, it's not a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Daycare, okay. Clothing, certain level of attire,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Probably food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you brown bag it, okay. If you don't, well, then there's going to be a difference there also.
Mm-hmm.
And then the time factor.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there's a way to balance some of those things also. I don't know, state-provided health care, but I slip into that one easy. Daycare might be the tipping point. Or maybe that's, there was that big trend, in the 90s? On-site babysitting for businesses. I don't know how many here locally took advantage of that or were able to, but some of those types of things. Do we have to get more creative in the employer end?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we have to wait for government largesse to, the spigot to run dry?
Well, and there's definitely a combination of things. Because I was going to say that's a secondary thing that I think is very significant and prevalent is in regards to the daycare issue.
You got it right. I still don't know how I went into healthcare so quickly.
But that's very real, right? I mean, you have a lot of working moms that with COVID, there's nobody to be able to watch their children during the day, so they're not going to be able to work. And especially when it came to the schools closing. So I just felt really, really terrible for any parent that ever has to be in a position to choose, staying home with their children, because that's a non-negotiable. You're going to have to do it if you don't have anyone to be able to watch your children. To have to choose between that and work is just got to be so difficult, So that is definitely a very real thing. Schools are going to be starting up here shortly, and as of now, it looks like most of them are going back live, or all of them as far as I know. So that's great, but it's going to be interesting to see if they stay that way just because of the resurgence. And from what I'm hearing is this variant is a little bit more kids can contract it or are contracting it more than the initial
The first round.
Yeah. So hopefully that's not the case, and hopefully it won't be going through our schools, because I would anticipate that if that does occur, then we could have some challenges with going back to distant learning, which again creates the child care issues. So but yeah, that's just got to be so difficult for working parents. I can't even fathom that.
So what are you experiencing at the bank from businesses? Okay, we've readjusted, we've reset. Oh boy, thankfully we're getting the support from the government. Boy, that's kind of changing this, doing that. Is there any consensus opinion, or is everybody kind of like a spider on ice and doing their own thing?
Well, I think it's just dependent upon what area you're in from a business standpoint, because some businesses did exceptionally well in terms of, COVID was good for their business.
Yeah, we've heard about some of those guys.
Yeah. So some have done great, but definitely there are several that have struggled. And, you had the PPP funds, the EIDL funds, the Restaurant Revitalization Program grants. So there's definitely been some good funding out there to help. But then now they're ready to open. They're ready to go, you know, get back to normal hours. And then, like you said, they have the issue with employees. And, you know, that is such a national phenomenon right now. It's I was in Tahoe a few weeks ago, and there was help wanted signs everywhere.
You just drive around any town.
It's everywhere. Everywhere.
It's 8:30.
Forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with, I won't even mention, well, what's his name? Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital. I was going to say the alter ego, the better part of the management team. I mean, I could go on and on here.
His better half.
Yes, of course.
I never said that.
I did. The fires. The closing of 299, the closing of 36, the slide 101, I guess last week was closed a little bit north of, or part of the 101 was closed north of Ukiah. This uncertainty that we have in our area. I mean, this is an earthquake. This isn't mudslides and floods, the normal stuff. Mm-hmm. This is weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do for the long-term viability of our area for folks coming here? Not to buy their houses, because that seems to be happening regardless, but for businesses, are we still where we were? Are we more desirable now? Are you guys involved in the commercial lending or talking with folks about wanting to start a business or expanding into the area? How's that played out?
I mean, we definitely like the fire aspect of it. We don't know how long that's going to last, of course, with the closures of the highways. And that does create a lot of additional issues from a transportation standpoint and, you know, the trucks in and out of here and that kind of stuff and just tourism as a whole. But we know that that's going to that'll be short term in terms of the closures, that aspect of it. In regards to the desirability of the area, it's a pretty amazing phenomenon we're going through right now. Just in regards to people relocating to the area, I know that's nothing new to anyone because we've seen that over the last year especially, and housing prices going up and so forth. But we also have some really amazing stuff going on in our community that I think is going to continue to keep our economy very stabilized and continue to grow. Everything from Polytech to Nordic Aqua Farms to the fiber optic cable coming in, which in turn broadband will be brought in as well. So those are all really amazing things that are going to bolster our area and our economy. And then, of course, we continue to have the housing issues because you've got to be able to support that growth through housing, which we know is always a continuous challenge in the area.
So with that occurring, or let's say, look over the next 10 years, are we at a spot where we will have the support? The medical, I mean, you know, everybody talks about, okay, if you have this condition, you're okay. If you don't have this, then you got to go Bay Area. Got to go to St. Helena. You got to go to Santa Rosa. You got to go Redding. You got to go to Medford, not here. As that grows out, do you see that we will get increased medical services, or are we going to continue to be dealing with some of the challenges that there are and that have been expressed over the last year and a half, 2 years?
It's a really good question, and I think probably St. Joe's, Mad River, and Redwood would be the ones to have to answer that question. My understanding is that they are trying to have some collaboration with all of this, because you also have things like your, again, you have your housing, your health care.
Well, Open Doors is going gangbusters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of cool. But, yeah, law enforcement and the sales tax dollars.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that really, I think, need to be involved in all of that so that they can be planning for the growth that I have a feeling we're going to be encountering.
Really?
Yeah. So there's, you know, the more that they can work and collaboratively develop that, the better we're all going to be in the long run. And so, but that is my understanding, is that the groups are coming together to actively look at that. There's going to be a summit that's supposed to be held in October, and I'm not too sure if they're still going to hold it live or if they're looking at maybe a virtual plan on that. But it's I believe, a 2-day summit that they're going to have a CR and have the community involved to look at all of this in terms of these potential growth opportunities. But then also with that comes the planning for it and making sure that we're considering all of those factors.
You mean like straighten out at Richardson's Grove?
How long has that been going on now?
At least 40 years.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe in 40 years it might be done.
Oh, only if the trees die on their own accord.
That might outlast both of us, Brian.
I suspect you're right.
Yeah.
It seems like we're so divisive in so many areas around here. Growth versus no growth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's nobody that's – very few people are saying, yeah, it's happening. Let's just direct it the way that is healthiest for the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can look at that with the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many of the communities are really – could handle a 10% growth in the next 10 years with the roads?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that I would run into some argument with our administrative folks.
Mm-hmm.
But just driving around, it doesn't look like anybody has anything figured out. You know, what was the last, other than Fortuna, when was the last road expansion that occurred? We've got constriction going on in Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is interesting. Arcata is doing what Arcata does, and it's not expansion, but it's the maintenance of what's going on. You look around, you know, where is? You know, Ferndale's got just, you know, doesn't have enough demand to expand. Trinidad, you know, I mean, most of the smaller towns don't. Are we ready for 10% growth? I mean, it's coming, but it doesn't seem like we're ready, other than the sewer line that was put in, 10 years ago now?
Yeah. And that ties into what I was saying about that's what people need to be looking at, all of that, because you're right, there's that constant tension of growth, no growth. But at the end of the day, we have to have a strong, stabilized economy to support our county and going forward. Kind of ties into the whole cannabis industry. And
oh, that's the next question here.
Oh, well, that was a nice segue.
Since you're the queen in that area, we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. It's 8:42.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with 3 airlines serving 5 destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly an American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig. All right. Marijuana dispensaries, growing dispensaries, mental health, all that kind of stuff, all wrapped together. What kind of sense do you have? And I know that I'm trying to blend a couple that probably should. Marijuana industry, the growing and the dispensary stuff. Is that hitting the numbers that it was when you were the ace, or have things kind of changed a little bit, either up or down?
Well, I think one of the things that we've really been fortunate is that we've seen kind of a gradual decline in terms of dollars coming, circulating through our economy. And what I mean by that is that, you know, go back 10 years ago and cannabis prices, you know, were still relatively high, and they've come down over time as legalizations occurred. You still definitely have a black market out there, which I'm sure that we probably still have a lot of money circulating through our economy as a result of that. But as we fast forward,
you don't see the roles anymore.
The roles, maybe smaller roles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smaller.
And $1 bills
fewer,
don't. Yeah, they feel as good, but they don't look as good.
Yeah. Maybe 50s, not 100s.
Yeah.
So there's been kind of that gradual decline from a monetary standpoint. And the good thing about what we were just talking about is with, you know, HSU becoming a polytech and Nordic Aqua Farms coming in, those kinds of things, you have some infill that's going to occur as a result. Because if those kinds of things weren't occurring and you were to see this exodus of the cannabis money in our economy, then what do we really have left? And so it's great to see some of these other things on the horizon that are very promising that are going to continue to add to the economic foundation of our county.
Well, I think that's the key word, the foundation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't pull a polytech up and move it somewhere else. You can't do that with the fish farm. You can't do that with the fiber optics. You can do that with the marijuana grow.
Mm-hmm.
It can go anywhere, you know, and it's not specific to our area.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones are, so those almost become lockdowns, which is kind of cool to even be considering that there's some of those things here other than trees and maybe fish to a certain extent also, the natural runs. Other than that, I mean, this is the foundation, I think, will be in place. It's going to be pretty exciting. It's going to change the culture of the area, though, too.
It's going to definitely do that to a degree, hopefully in a positive way. But kind of going back to your question before about, you know, businesses and that kind of thing, I mean, we're definitely, we've got quite a few storefronts empty, but hopefully with that kind of thing on the horizon, that will continue to urge entrepreneurs to expand, to start businesses, to relocate businesses here and that kind of stuff, because you're going to have more with the population
increase. More bodies.
More bodies, yeah. And I was talking with Greg Foster the other day, too, and we were talking about the airline piece.
So was I.
Well, then I don't need to repeat any of that.
No, probably a totally different conversation.
Well, about the airlines, you know, and the demand, and, you know, and just people, like he said before, you know, they'd have to try to be going to these airlines, trying to convince them to come into Humboldt County. And now we're seeing a bit of a switch with that, where they're actually looking at the possibility of bringing a fourth airline in the fall. And, I mean, when's the last time we had three airlines in Humboldt County? And so, you know, you've got that continuous, I would anticipate that a lot of that is just because of what's on the forefront of what's occurring in our county.
Well, yeah, you get some of these major shifts,
mm-hmm.
I would think. Yeah, that gets the attention of everybody,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool. I hope that the structure that's in place allows it, or I guess to use a double entendre, permits it. Yes.
So that's definitely where our counties and cities need to be looking at, you know, the infrastructure aspect of it, the housing element.
And getting from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked during the break a little bit about Hodgson, which for folks who aren't in the Eureka area is one of the areas that is not, it's a secondary, obviously, mm-hmm. artery, but it's the one that goes out to the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been changed in forever, I don't think. Two lane parking on either side, but now it's a fairly main drag to get out to the Cutting area, which has got thousands of homes out there, and it gets choked off. You know, mm-hmm. Harrison is not designed that way. The alternative, driving in front of the school, certainly doesn't make any sense. And then you got the backside of the school, and we still don't have any plans to make any adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
I say, at what point do we finally get to the spot where we have to do something significant, uncomfortable, but significant,
mm-hmm.
to accommodate some of these changes that have happened over decades, you know, since things were done. So I hope that there's a embracing of that.
Mm-hmm. There needs to be, yeah. And I think schools is a biggie as well, because if this population is going to continue to go up, our enrollment is going to go up, which we've been seeing a decline over many years. So
that would be a nice change too.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe we could have a high school gym done. In time. And we'll talk to Fred later on this week. Let's see you again.
You too, Brian. Always a pleasure.
Go have fun with the horsies.
Okay.
All right.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Okay.
See everybody tomorrow.